What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Caleb Callahan Show. Today, we're going to continue looking at Alex O'Connor, one atheist versus 25 Christians. It sounds so scary. Now, I like Alex O'Connor. Right now, he's talking about suffering makes God's existence unlikely. He's diving into a couple of these questions. We're going to go ahead and dive right in. I'm not going to cover all of them. At some point, you're going to see we've talked enough about suffering, and you're going to see how a Christian should answer it, whether these guys answer it right or wrong. We're going to get there. Again, I don't like Jubilee. I get what they're trying to do. I don't like the format. I don't like the setup. I think it's a bunch of gotcha moments, but it is what it is. Let us continue. Oh, nice move, man. Fast.
Would you say that theism or atheism better account for the idea that suffering exists and a purpose for it?
Depends exactly what you mean, because of course you might say that the world itself is more expected on theism, and since suffering, you know, needs the existence of the world, that it's theism. But granted the existence of a material world, let's say, I think atheism.
Okay, why does suffering exist at all? In an atheistic worldview, what is the cause of suffering?
Oh, this is the correct approach. Thank you, Hayden. Hayden is going to challenge him on his assumptions, right? And this is exactly what you do. Do not let them frame the question without going back to the assumptions underneath the question. Good job, Hayden.
Oh, well, because however life began, it developed through a series of natural selection, which requires animals to develop senses that they wish to avoid in order to be more likely to survive. And that's why pain receptors evolve. In a world where not all of these pains are actually going to kill us, we're left with situations in which we're in a lot of pain but don't end up dying for it.
Notice how he said, however life began. Why does he say it that way? Because it's the biggest miracle ever. It's an untestable miracle. You cannot go and test it, right? It's unscientific in nature. Non-life became life. How? I don't know. It just did, right? Oh, good job. But you don't have faith, right? No. We're science. We believe in the scientific method, right? We believe in that which you can empirically test. Non-life to life. Yeah. Well, we just, you know, we're going to give us that, right? And then he just all of a sudden is like, and natural selection. Yeah, of course, natural selection. No, natural selection is not that simple. Go back and look at chemistry, right? In chemistry, time is your enemy. In biology, time is your friend. Which one do you want, right? It's like the things that they say that they just hope that you will allow them to assume unchallenged is what they get away with. So much of what he just said right there is nonsense. Right, and that's important to understand. Hey, I hope Hayden, he probably won't call him out on it because you're talking about suffering, but he could have.
Would you agree that consciousness is necessary for suffering?
I would say probably, yeah.
Does atheism account for consciousness?
Yes, that's what I was talking about a moment ago. Perhaps not. Maybe theism accounts better for consciousness than atheism does.
So nice. I like this gentleman.
If there is no consciousness, there is no suffering. Is that right?
That's probably true, yeah.
So if atheism cannot account for consciousness, then it cannot account for suffering. Would you agree with that?
So I think what we're doing here is we're sort of slightly shifting the goalposts.
No, we're not shifting the goalposts. What we're doing here is we are talking now about your worldview and all of the issues underneath the concept of suffering and how you are having to jump into a Christian worldview and drive it into a tree. Right? We're not shifting the goalpost. He is doing exactly what he should do. Alex says that because now he's getting a little squirmish because we got somebody that's finally arguing correctly.
If you don't want to grant the existence of the material world before we start talking about this, we can do an argument from consciousness. But then we need to debate whether consciousness is more, it is explicable on atheism. What I'm going to say is this. Consciousness may seem to imply the existence of a conscious creator of the universe. We're here talking about, I suppose we're talking about Christianity, the claim was about God. But the God that you believe in, let's say, if we grant that there is a creator deity who sort of brings about the universe of conscious creatures, have you ever heard of the evil god hypothesis that Stephen Law popularized or came up with?
Tell me.
So the idea is that, like, imagine that there's a god who brings about the world and creates the world, but does it maliciously because he wants human beings to suffer. He brings about a world in order so that human beings will suffer. Right? That seems like a plausible hypothesis. And even if you think that consciousness points towards God, the kind of God that a lot of Christians think is a sort of necessary quality of God, which is to be all-loving, might not have to apply it.
Can I ask?
Okay, so here's what's interesting. Again, he's assuming there's no good reason for suffering to take place. We've talked about this in the last suffering video. In chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, Alex doesn't understand the Christian story, right? He wants to critique the Christian God, but really he's just critiquing the idea of God, right? And the problem with that is, I don't believe any of these other God stories either. They're nonsensical, right? But the Christian God story is not. It makes sense of everything if you understand it, but he obviously doesn't. In terms of me, and I'm just in terms of listening to him, right? Genesis 1 and 2, God creates His order, His kingdom, right? And it's good. It's very good. He keeps talking about, my problem is non-human animal suffering. Well, guess what? In God's kingdom, there was no non-human animal suffering. The lion lays down with the lamb. And guess what? It will again, right? It will again. It's the middle part that Alex doesn't like. And guess what? What happens in Genesis 3? The fall of man. Right, and with the fall of man is the fall of the created order, because now we are living in the time period of man's kingdom. Because man in Genesis 3 decided to take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God told them not to, which is what it means to be God, to give definitions to the thing. God said, don't eat of that tree, because I'm God and you're a created thing. You're a created being. Your job is to align your life to me and go out and spread my image, not your image. But the enemy comes along and says, hey, take God's glory. Take His praise. You can be like God. And we do. And therefore, in the period, in the middle of this kingdom, of man's kingdom, God is sanctifying us with suffering. God is sanctifying us with allowing us to live inside of our kingdom. Does He preserve it? Yes, He does. Because if we were left to ourselves, I promise you, this world would be way worse. Way, way worse. Okay? So there's a preservation, a common grace upon this world that God is still active. He's still in it, but He is not keeping every harm from taking place, all suffering from taking place. You know why? We chose to have our own kingdom, and we're living in it. And there's a sanctification happening that one day when we get to be with God, when we're in heaven, in a restored and a redeemed heaven and world, guess what? We'll go, it's only good that you rule, God, and we know that now, right? We didn't know it back here, but we know it now.
Ask a question.
Yes.
If Christianity were true, is it plausible that suffering is necessary for God's purpose?
If Christianity is true, then I think it must be necessary, because there'd be no other explanation.
Okay, so we're not talking about whether or not Christianity is true.
But if you're asking me if it's plausible that Christianity is true and therefore suffering is necessary, I would say probably not. Because I don't think suffering should be necessary or could be necessary.
Okay, it's not necessary because I don't think it should be. Right? He has not fully immersed himself in the Christian narrative. Right? He's still on the outside of it going, I don't think it should be. Right? But it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God's story is telling. And by the way, it makes perfect sense if you understand it from a kingdom theology perspective.
Atheistic worldview, I would agree with you, it makes no sense at all. But okay, I would ask this question.
So can I ask you one?
Actually, I believe natural selection, in terms of just ripping to shreds of that style of suffering, what he's trying to say is like the concept of suffering, the consciousness of suffering makes no sense, right? The natural selection makes sense, but we wouldn't be conscious of it, right? That's what he's trying to drive at.
Sure. Why then, if God exists and wants to come to know everybody and wants to love everybody and does so for the sake of human beings, why he chose to imbue the world with so much suffering that is at least seemingly completely inexplicable?
See how he frames his questions? He frames his questions. You have to call him out on that. It's seemingly inexplicable, right? He's trying to like throw little daggers in there. But by the way, what he just said is not the Christian, that is not what Christians believe, right? What he just said is not what Christians believe. He wants to know everybody. He wants everybody to be loved. That's not, he must be at like Joel Osteen's church. I'm not sure, but that is not the Christian story at all.
Are you a father?
No.
I'm a father. I want my son to become just like I am, better than I am. Okay. I should say. I want him to become the best that he can be. Is it possible for him to reach his potential without suffering in his life?
Perhaps not, but there's...
I like this guy. I don't know this guy. I want to find his channel, though. The reason is I love how he's taking God's institutions, right? God has established institutions in the world, marriage, fatherhood, motherhood, right? He's established them, and he wants to teach you through those institutions if you respond rightly. I love the fact that he grabbed fatherhood, which is an institution, and God has told us how to live out fatherhood, and if we do, it will produce a perseverance, it will produce a love, it will produce all kinds of things inside of our children, and that is what he is driving at. Beautiful, Hayden. I love this guy.
Okay, so suffering is necessary.
There are a few things I want to say. Okay. First of all, that kind of moral development doesn't apply to non-human animals, as I've already said. Right? That does not account for the brutal death of animals in the wild. Also,
I love how he just goes, why not? Give me an explanation of why not. Again, non-suffering animals, he realizes he's losing the debate on the other side. Non-suffering animals, like, no, the fall of the created order, they are a part of the fall, right? And it says in Romans, if he understood this, that all the created order is longing for the day in which the king returns and restores and redeems all of the created order.
If I don't want to talk about your son because it's tragic to think about, but somebody else's son
sure.
has suffered and died immediately as sure. a result of that suffering, they don't get to develop in the same way.
I would agree that on a micro level.
They don't get to develop, but maybe the person whose its son was gets to develop. Okay, now he may go, that's cruel. That's just too cruel. Maybe, maybe not. Let me tell you guys something that I pray over every one of my children. You might think I'm bonkers, but you know, if the story's true, it's an amazing prayer. If Christianity is true, it is the right prayer. My prayer every time my wife became pregnant, as I prayed over her stomach, was, God, if this child will not one day come to know you, I pray that you take him now. No matter how much suffering it brings about in my life, I would rather him die before he comes to the age of knowing good and evil, and therefore being accountable to it, and come and live with you, than to one day watch my child walk in rebellion to you and die an unbeliever. That to me is far worse than any other thing that could happen to me on this earth. That is my greatest fear, that my children not know God. Now, he would not understand that, right? He cannot understand that. You know why? Because that's like a level 10 out of 10 understanding, right? And you have to have a relationship with God. I'm not saying I'm that smart. I'm just saying you have to have a relationship with God to understand what I just said. If you're an outsider trying to understand that, you're going to think I'm crazy. And that's fine because you don't have a relationship with God. And much of Alex's problem, and you're going to see really when we get into the annihilation of the promised land, much of Alex's problem is he's trying to understand God from a reasonable place without having a relationship with God. And you just can't do that. You're never going to be able to arrive there.
It's very hard to justify. And we can ask the question, why doesn't God intervene on all of these
sufferings? You might be able to justify an amount of suffering, yeah. right? But the fact that there's so much gratuitous suffering in the world is what I think makes God's existence unlikely. There are some instances where maybe a certain amount of suffering brings about a certain amount of good in a situation. That, by the way, would count as a justification. But when a child dies of leukemia and they're dead...
Could there be a purpose to it? What if the death of the child brings their parents to God?
Then the parents should be grateful that their child got leukemia because it's doing the will of the Lord.
Not necessarily.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Again, remember, Alex is an atheist and a materialist. So this life, no matter if he says it or not, he's still thinking this life is all there is. This is the best we can expect is this life. He has no perspective, no paradigm for eternity, right? None. Right, so this is all he has. So that's why when he says that, if you go, the death of my child brought about the salvation of me and my wife, and my child dies before coming to a place of knowledge of good and evil and is with the Lord, and now we get to go be with the Lord too. Yes, Alex, it is by far greater, but you don't understand that because all you know is this life, Alex. And when this life is over, in your paradigm, it is over. In my reality, this life is but a blink of all of eternity. So that's why, Alex, you cannot understand what we are talking about.